Blog Talk Radio.
Global Engagement Network. Hello, everyone. This is Sean Porter with the Global Engagement Network and the Sean S. Porter Podcast and NorthwestAlternativeMedia.com. I'm here just trying out Blog Talk Radio. I've done it a couple times. I just thought I'd sneak in this morning, just talk briefly about some things. First, House of Representatives Benghazi panel found no new evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton. Now totaling some $7 million, the investigation, the final report, admonished U.S. agencies for not being more prepared, but stopped short of concluding anything else, really, including specific wrongdoing by Clinton. More importantly, I think, is the idea that this might be a headhunt of sort, just really something that they're trying to shine a light on Clinton in such a volatile political climate. I don't think it really matters that much, though. Even without this, there was plenty of other things on the table for people not to like, and rightly so. But it is very interesting to see that they're pouring $7 million into this, you know, and they're not getting anything out of it. And what's the definition of insanity? Again, this is Sean S. Porter. You can call in and give us a chat, talk whenever you want, even though no one's listening right now. That's quite all right. Guest call in is 347-989-0272. Go ahead and give us a call. We're waiting. I'm waiting. Love to hear from you. It also turns out that technical difficulties here. Anyways, so as far as the sit-ins go with the Democrats, they were sitting in on the House trying to bring awareness to the need for reform, gun reform. But I get that at first you see this and you're like, finally, they're standing up for important issues in our country, things that are, you know, most of us think should have been dealt with or at least acknowledged as being something that we can work together on a long time ago. But it's not. I mean, if there was anything, we would expect the Republicans to try and bend their, you know, their staunch negative views on these sort of things. If there was any place that they would bend, we think it would be here. It is not, and they haven't. They're on vacation now without having passed a vote. And to me, the sit-in was really just more evidence of just a do-nothing Congress and just when our representatives behaving like regular folks that don't have any power, and that's seen as like a great step in the right direction, finally, I mean, you know that we're in a bad spot. That's not to take anything away from people that are actually out there on the streets marching, picketing, but that's the whole point to that, is that you don't have a voice. You come together and you make that voice. These people are supposed to have the power. They're supposed to have the will to do this. They could have been taking the political risks to try and get this stuff done already. They haven't. And now it comes to this, and there's this big old event, and they're using it as a reason to sit in and demand there be change. I don't think it's too little too late, but it's damn tempting to say it is. It really is. Now that I'm sitting here talking to y'all about this, I'm wondering, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to tweet this stuff out right quick here. Boom, just sent that out. All right, again, call me, guys, if you want. 347-989-0272. That's 0272. Again, looking forward to talking to y'all. This is the first one, so, you know, it's great that people will, maybe will start coming in slowly. We'll take calls as needed. Next topic, we're just talking about the Washington Post has been digging into Trump's claims that he's given millions to charity. Of course, we've all sort of wondered how true that is. And the Post claims, quote, that they've found less than $10,000 over 7 years. Not, of course, the recent donation to veterans that he made for $1 million. Now, that was only after much scrutiny from the press that he kind of, I think probably just to save face, went ahead and did that, because the spotlight wasn't on him this last 7 years, where he could just say, oh yeah, we did this, we did that, and no one was going back to check until Washington Post. Now, of course, David Weigel, who's of the Trump camp, kind of just went the old Trump route and talked down to Fahrenthold, the author of the piece. And this is very, very interesting to me, because it's almost like the more you poke the beast, the stronger he gets. These weapons, a Washington Post article that does real journalistic work, goes back almost a decade to really see where he's given this money, if he's given it, how it's moving around. And they can just so easily turn around and say, quote, third-rate reporter at Fahrenthold, a real lightweight, has very dishonest story about Trump, nasty guy. That's not Trump. That is David Weigel. They're like starting to sound like each other. But it's just like, are people that are Trump supporters really saying that, seeing that, and thinking, oh yeah, I'm not going to read it, I don't even care what it says, it's obviously bullshit. Well, if you look into the story, he did his homework. If Trump wants to talk about how those aren't true, then he can give us paperwork. He can give us, I don't know, accounting information from past years, taxing, release taxes. Did he yet already? I don't think he did. I think he's still the one that hasn't. It's all starting to add up to the fact that he is not as successful a businessman as we thought he was. And that's sort of what he's been running on, that and just his I don't care kind of anti-establishment attitude. The populist narrative that comes with that, I suppose. But it's just, it's crazy that journalism, man, just even the ones that are still doing it right, we've come to a point where in at least many citizens of this country look at real journalism and can be convinced it's less than completely honest just through cult of personality. Which brings us to Brexit. Before we get into that, again, figure this out. 347-989-0272. Call in, talk. Let's talk. Anyways, Brexit brings us to the next point. We should be paying attention to this, if for no other reason than the fact that they didn't think this was possible over there. We thought everyone's kind of freaking out, everyone's losing their shit a bit, things are rough, people are scared, but we'll get through it. They didn't get through it, folks. It took some convincing, and that convincing never happened. And we're seeing instant blowback. If that doesn't make you think it's even more possible, then you're missing out. You maybe have the wool over your eyes a bit. Now, that's not to say, you know, I'm hearing this argument that, yeah, we're going to go Sanders, you know, if Sanders doesn't pull out a miracle at the convention and it really is Clinton versus Trump, do you go Jill Stein? If you go Jill Stein and Trump becomes the nominee or becomes the president, are you okay with that? Is that better than Clinton? I'm not going to go into that here, but that's a tough choice for me. No one likes a lying status quo politician who's going to pretend to be left wing, but is really just a moderate Republican of yesteryear, pulling us to the right, who used a loose relationship with a demagogue to being Trump, and his being into becoming, you know, the nominee. Whether Clinton had anything to do with that or not, I'm sure that'll be a conspiracy for years to come. The point being is, it's at this point, it's probably going to be one of them. And if you vote for Stein, and so many people are just disillusioned with Clinton to the point where even crazy-ass Trump is at least just a break in the mold, that could end up being what we have. And if he gets 2-3 Supreme Court justices, it's going to change our country for decades, those decisions. Those aren't decisions that just go away after 4 years when we try and vote Trump out and get an even more progressive, actually progressive Democratic nominee. So I don't know that this whole I like where Bernie or Bust is coming from. I'm not sure how clear their foresight is. I always like to attribute it to like a boxing match. If you go in too mad, too fast, too angry, no game plan, you're likely to get knocked out. You might, even if you catch a couple punches here and there, you keep your calm, you start moving your head, start parrying those shots when you can, but you still move ahead, you still move forward, and you still don't get mad. So this whole Bernie or bust, now or nothing, I'm not sitting home, but I'm not voting for Clinton, I'm not voting for Trump. Well, that's fine. And I love that principle. But it's big kid time. This is more than just about principles. This is nuance. This is about incremental change, because to me, incremental change is still better than regression. And just the fact that this many people are into politics, I would hope that this two-party system and it being Clinton and Trump doesn't lead them all back to jadedness, but it likely will. But if it doesn't, if somehow we can, you know, on Global Engagement Network and these other places, if somehow we can bring more people in, or at least keep, or even keep them in, the ones that are in because of this latest news cycle, that's good for progressive views. And if you look at the numbers, conservatives certainly come out and vote in larger numbers, larger percentages. For instance, with legislation based around guns and stuff like that, it's maybe the biggest distinction between how much you see Republicans come out and vote on those sort of measures compared to liberals and Democrats. So even though Trump's lying about, you know, giving money, he's trying to seem like he's the good guy that's for the people. And even though people are calling him out on this, he still has his backers. He still has the people that believe in him. He's still got the people that are going to him, just realizing, hey, this is the guy that's non-establishment. Maybe he's going to scare everyone straight. And then you have Clinton over there hoping everyone keeps their heads about them, votes with what they know, and that's blue. You know, it's scary for people to vote for Green Party and Jill Stein because of Trump. Like the Facebook that's going around, Facebook meme that's going around shows it's Two-Face Clinton against the Joker Trump. What will happen to the American people and their country and the rights our citizens have depends highly on this. Sure, you can think Clinton getting in the office is going to be the same old, Wall Street friendly, but we will seriously regress with Republican in the White House. It's easy for me up in Seattle with all these, you know, with more or less progressive representatives, especially West, you know, Western Washington in general. It's easy for me to, it would be easy for me to say, oh, hey, you know, let's go green. Trump gets in 4 years, maybe, you know, some Supreme Court justices that are appointed for life. It's not worth, it's worth not having another Clinton in the White House. I just, that's a hard pill for me to swallow. That's a hard sale for me to buy. I'm right there between voting for Clinton and then just holding her feet to the fire. We're part of the media. We'll hold her feet to a fire. She's not going to do half the things she says she's going to do. But I also don't think that her being a progressive in the White House would lead to a harder win for the Democrats. Come, what is it, 2016 or something. So to me, it's, even if no matter which one of them wins, you still, the grassroots people still haven't won. If Trump loses, all those grassroots supporters are left in the dust. If Clinton wins, Sanders' supporters and Trump supporters are both left in the dust. Both those outcomes might actually lead to Americans voting for a more progressive candidate come the time. But as we know, in, you know, as the past has shown, usually what it means is the other party has a better chance. And this comes in ebbs and flows, you know, obviously. But it's just the idea that, you know, it's not just about principles. It's not just about like, oh, I said I wouldn't vote for her and now I never will. You really got to think about the little things that can happen through a presidency. The Sanders revolution has already pulled Hillary more to the left than she would have been. And so maybe she's not as far left as we want her to be. But I think she'll try and keep up that act just enough that maybe it's worth it. But then again, you're risking being stuck in that status quo, whereas maybe Trump or a Jill Stein vote really tells the system we're done seeking out incremental change. We want a big bump in the road. I don't know that, you know, a Trump presidency is that big bump. Maybe we need to hit bottom before we can improve. Is that what this is? The last angry white mob of people and the, you know, those that can be influenced by them are behind this guy. Is this the last of a dying age? God, I hope so. It's hard to tell. There's lots of young white men rooting for Trump. Does it? It can't help that there's a woman running. I can just see in these Trump supporters. I mean, I of course it's an assumption, maybe an unfair one, but it seems like a safe one to me. That a lot of these guys are probably those are a little. Oh, what the hell is the word? It's slipping on me, but they're probably a little sexist, for lack of the better term. Anyways, Sean Porter Show from Global Engagement Network. The Real Newsroom will start in just over half an hour. I have about 7 minutes left on air. Give us a call, even though I don't think anyone's listening. This has been a good little just self-talk session. At any rate, I'm going to tell you the number, 347-989-0272. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. We've got summits coming up, the second round of summit. We had the first summit for the Global Engagement Network. We are building a business. We want your help. We want your input. We had the first day. We have other days coming up. Check out our newsletter. Check out, if you go to politicalrevolution.tv and you look at one of our recent videos from like perhaps the Real Newsroom, you'll see in there at the bottom in the info section, you will see links to our newsletter, to the summit where you can sign up. We are more than happy to have people sign up. Come in during the second part. You really didn't even actually miss that much in the first summit meeting. Really, we were just telling stories, getting to know each other. We have one big group and we break into smaller groups, talk to each other about certain aspects of building a media business, then come back together in a big group to talk those things out and flesh, ideas out. We write it all down in a sort of loose, very loose transcript, and we move from there. So we'd love to have people go ahead and check it out. Again, you can go to politicalrevolution.tv, go down to our info below any video, really, and especially any recent ones, just make sure it's more recent. And yeah, there'll be a link there where you can go ahead and sign up. The next one is this Sunday coming up there in the evening, so hopefully you can make it. We'd love to see you there. Again, Global Engagement Network is the parent company of the now, we're not doing any new broadcasts, but Bernie2016.tv, and now with the Real Newsroom, and hopefully some more new programming as we move forward. I'd love to find myself on there one day. Is politicalrevolution.tv. You can see us on Twitter at PR Revolt TV. That's PRE. Let's see here. I'm going to fucking write that down. So it's PRELVTV. Maybe. PREVOLTV. Apologize for that. Yeah, the first meeting was very gratifying because it was really cool to meet new people, hear new thinking. One thing that took me back, though, that I wanted to talk about for the last 3 minutes is we brought up the fact that, or I brought it up in my group, that, before the Fairness Doctrine was slowly taken apart during the Reagan administration, you really did have to be a little more fair and balanced when it comes to your news coverage, or you would lose your license and not be able to do it anymore. Now, as that slowly deteriorated, we've now found ourselves subsequently in a place where we have to start a new media entity like Global Engagement Network to try and fill the gap of traditional journalism. It's expensive. It's not a real journalism, going out there and finding real stories and not just aggregating stories and talking about them, talking head journalism, which is very, it's needed, but it's also not the only kind. You know, Tom Hartman and Cenk Uygur are great, and they're really smart, but they're not out there finding their own stories, reporting their own stories, doing their own interviews. They're not investigating. So there's definitely a hole for that. A traditional media is trying to fill it, and they do, but they have corporate oversight. They've got people that don't want certain things out, aren't going to let certain things out. To me, as that fairness doctrine started deteriorating, it's not even to me, it instantly started bringing in financial sectors of businesses into the news sections of businesses. They were strictly walled apart. They were strictly compartmentalized so as to not have the need to make money affect the coverage of the news. News is something we deserve. We have the right to have real journalistic news from real sources that don't have corporate oversight. That is why we are here. That is why we're trying to build this business, because there's just not a free-flowing web of ideas coming from traditional media. Traditional media is in the pockets of big business and corporations and politics, and it's going to take independent media to pick up the slack and start really. It's like a mix between objective and subjective. Objectively looking for truths, but then subjectively looking at those truths and telling the people what they mean. Because traditional media is not doing that anymore. Thank you, everyone. These will get smoother. I just like chatting. Have a great one.
Global Engagement Network.